for their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past
with Eric Dallinger
and Carlianna Billings.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Before There Were Hashtags podcast. I am your host, Eric Dallinger, and I'm here with the wonderful Carlianna Billings, my
Hi!
Amazing co-host.
Oh, gosh, golly, it's me. I'm here, too. Cracking open a cold one.
Was that the sound of our topic today?
Ooh, it very well might be.
Ooh.
A little teaser weezer for later.
For later.
Eric, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. I had a great Saturday night.
Oh, gosh. I wonder who you were with and what you were doing.
So, yeah, this past Saturday, me and Carly went to her cousin's wedding.
We did. My cousin got married this weekend, and Eric with my palas won. The best wedding date a girl could ask for. Or anyone could ask for, TBH.
It was so much fun. Italian wedding.
Italian wedding.
Lasagna. Chicken parmigiano.
So much food. Yeah.
So much food.
It just kept coming out. And I was like, no, thank you. My dress is already, you know, body figure. Like, no. Oh, but I ate it. Don't worry.
Yeah, no.
I found room.
I ate it all because I had to. I was like, this is a challenge.
I love
the antipasto bar was... Well, okay, you're Italian. Why is it... What is it called, antipasto?
Antipasto just means like...
Not pasta. That's literally how I take it.
No. It's different. Antipasto is like the before meal.
So before the pasta.
Sure, but pasto and pasta is not the same thing. Antipasto just is the before the meal. Because in Italian, if you're going through like the courses, it goes like antipasto, then it goes primo piatto, secondo piatto, like first plate, second plate, like that's how it goes. But antipasto is like its own thing. It's literally like a charcuterie. It's the same thing, but different. It's like the first thing you eat, it's the pre-meal. It's the hors d'oeuvres, if you will. The like amuse-bouche, the like little bits to eat before the eating. But yeah, it has nothing to do with pasta.
But I like my explanation better.
Okay.
It's the antipasta.
It's the not pasta part of the dinner. Yeah. You're not wrong.
But it was a beautiful night. It was so funny, too, because I was sitting with Carly's parents for the ceremony. Mm-hmm. And so they sat in the reserved family section. And I was like, I don't have to sit here. I can, like, go sit in the back. And they're like, no, it's fine. You sit with us. But then nobody, like, really sat around us.
Man, so I was like,
hi! Like, me in the front row.
It was amazing.
To Carly's cousin, you were like... Doesn't know me from anybody.
Yeah, barely met you. It was incredible.
It was so funny.
She loved it. We loved it. It was so much fun.
I hope they had a great night. Because
they sure did.
It really was a fun night.
Yeah. No, they had a blast. We had a blast.
Open bar. Who can complain?
Who can complain? Dancing, drinks, children running amok, everybody laughing. It was great.
Children that I think just called me the dance teacher.
Children that are obsessed that you're a professional dancer. Absolutely.
But don't know my name.
No. Just would turn my cousin, my little cousin Wyatt, the best guy in the world, would just turn people and say, after I told him, I said, hey, you know my friend Eric? He said, yeah. I said, well, he is a professional dancer. And he said, like he dances on stage? I said, yeah. And he said, and I said, he's also a dance teacher. And he went, because he does dance, and he knows that he has a dance teacher. So he's like, he gets it. He's like, whoa. To him, that's like such a big deal. It was like when we told my cousin and his sister Ophelia that I'm an actor, because she wants to be an actress.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like when her grandmother said, hey, we have an actress. And she said, what? And she said, you know Carly? Yeah. She's an actress. And she said, she is? So I showed them my headshots one day. And Wyatt, the ever astute Wyatt, he said, you look different. And I said, oh, I do? He said, you have makeup in your pictures. I said, yeah, do you like it? He said, yes, I like it better. I said, okay. And at the wedding, he looked at me again. He said, you look different. I said, I do? He said, you look very nice. You're wearing makeup. I said, yeah. I said, do you like it or do you not like it? He said, no, I like it.
It's funny when you're observant little kid. When you're wearing makeup, you're like, thank you for like noticing that I've tried. But then when you're not, when you're not wearing makeup, and somebody says you look better with makeup, it's like that is an insult.
That's nasty. Yeah, that was the day I wasn't wearing makeup and I was showing them my headshots. He was like, I like that, and I was like, okay, nasty. No, so funny though. Kids are, I can't say it like it is, and I'm obsessed with it. And kids love being. They were also. I have nails. Which I don't normally have because I have stubby ass nails normally, but I have fake nails, and they were also obsessed with the idea of that. And Wyatt said, are these your real nails? I said, no, I got, they're fake. And he said, really? He said, do they come off? I said, no, they don't come off till they fall off, which is kind of true.
Yeah. Not a lie.
Not really a lie. And he said, even when you sleep, you wear them? I said, yeah. He said, whoa, that to him was like, what? So it's just funny to see how I love seeing how little kids their brains go. It makes me laugh. The little things that make them go, what? Because I'm just like, yeah, I got nails. There you go. So yeah, we had a great weekend. All that to say, they were obsessed with you and your moves. They're obsessed with me and my nails.
We had a good time on the dance floor.
Totally. We tore it up. Yeah.
We tried to get Rena on the dance
floor. That's right. My mom. Yeah, she joined us for a hot 10 seconds.
She loved it.
She had a great time. She doesn't dance in public. She hates it. In fact, every time we go somewhere, she goes, my dad loves to dance. And she goes, dance with your father. So I do. But she sometimes will dance with him. Very rarely. But even we got her out for a fast song. We got her out for a couple. So yes. That was pretty funny.
It was fun. It was such a fun night. And the DJ kept calling you his girlfriend.
I know. It was such a good bit. Because I was the MC of the wedding. So, I mean, it goes with the territory. Can you do?
I spilt wine.
All the good things.
So funny, Carly.
Yeah.
Because I spilt the wine onto my neighbor's plate.
Oh.
And it didn't go anywhere else but on the plate.
Just the plate.
So I just changed the plates. I went, I'll take that plate and switch it. And then poured the wine back into my glass.
Oh, ingenious. One of a kind. Never been done before. I'm obsessed with that. I almost got killed by a candelabra because as I was getting up one time to do some of my emceeing, I hit the table, and to the side of me was this big-ass candelabra, and it started to fall towards me. And so, thank goodness Gabe, the groomsman, was beside me. He caught it, and I was like, thank you, Gabe, you saved my life. I almost died that day. But it would have been beautiful death because it was a beautiful wedding, so... We love it. We had a good time. We hope you all had a good weekend and a good time and a good week. And you're having a great day.
Great Wednesday.
That's right. We love a Wednesday.
We're recording on the Monday.
We're always recording on a different day that we release. Because that would be hateful towards ourselves to record and release on the same day.
Could you imagine?
I can. It's awful. So we don't do it. So it's good to be here. We're excited. And we have a great topic for you today.
We do.
Jingle, jangle, cringle, crangle.
Should we warm up with 5 minutes of pop culture talk to take us back in our time machine?
Oh, hell yeah. We got to jump back to the way back and talk 5 minutes on the clock of today's pop culture news so we can get back and talk about our topic.
All right. Here we go. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, COVID is running amok in the land of TV. Did you hear about what happened on The View, Carly?
No, tell me what happened on The View.
So, Joy, Sarah, Sunny, and Ana Navarro were all chatting, and then the producer stepped in and said, we have to ask Sunny and, Ana Navarro to step off the stage.
Okay.
Turns out they tested positive for COVID.
No.
Now, it was the same episode that Vice President Kamala Harris was supposed to be on the show.
Whoa.
So they had to wipe everything down. And then throughout the whole episode, it was just Joy and Sarah talking, and they were doing Q&A with the audience because they basically had to stall because they didn't have anything to do. And they kept pushing Kamala back
right.
because they were like, she can't come out. Like,
no,
it's like
they have to give it some time.
Contaminated.
And, yeah.
Turns out that they eventually just set up a camera in Kamala's change room, I believe.
Yeah.
If I'm interpreting the events correctly, and did it via Skype.
Whoa.
Or like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know.
No, I gotcha.
So that she didn't have to be in
Satellite,
the same space as these two
COVID cuties.
Then it turned out that they were false positives.
Oh my god. That's very dramatic.
It's very
dramatic. It's good that they acted so quickly, especially especially with someone like the vice president. They can't take that risk, I'm assuming. But that is so dang wild. See, I didn't hear about that, but I did hear some talk about Amanda Bynes and her conservatorship.
Oh,
did you hear about this?
No, you informed me.
Okay, so Amanda Bynes, a judge has declared that she will stay in her conservatorship through 2023, I believe through March of 2023. And so her conservatorship has been extended another 2 years.
And is this something, I'm not as caught up on the...
Sure.
Is it like the Britney Spears case? Does she want out?
So the media is kind of portraying it as if it's not like Britney Spears, because they're like, she's somebody who is a bit of a danger to herself. She's someone who's a little more unstable, that kind of thing. Though, it seems a little bit like behind closed doors, Amanda has come out against the conservatorship on her own. Right. She has said in the past that she, feels similar to Britney, with things we've heard before about celebrities and conservatorships, that she's stuck, that she, you know, doesn't have autonomy, all these things. There's a few different interesting things about the Amanda conservatorship that maybe we'll go into detail in one day. Who knows?
Yeah. I definitely want to cover Amanda.
So I won't get into it too much, but it seems as though the way that the media is trying to cover this, and maybe this is because of the way her conservatorship wants to go after this, is they're trying to show it as this isn't like a Britney situation. Though to me it feels like they could be more similar than we know.
Yeah.
Which is upsetting.
It is really hard. To be even fair about the Britney stuff, like, when the whole first wave of Free Britney came out, I was a little skeptical, because I was like, maybe she really does need this conservatorship. Like, maybe, I haven't heard from Britney, like, maybe she really needs to be in a facility. Maybe she's not being held against her will in, like, a bad way.
Right.
Now that more has come to light, we see...
We know that that's not the case.
True.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want the best... And I said this about Britney at the time, like, all I want is the best for them.
Absolutely.
I don't... If the conservatorship is really helping them, then of course, it should stay if they really are a danger to themselves, but...
Mm-hmm. But if not,
if
then...
If not, then it
needs
really to
needs
go,
to
and there
dissolved.
Needs to be a fair trial to...
Yeah, determine that.
Determine that.
I agree. I think the one thing that people have noted that's the big difference between the Amanda and Britney situation is that Amanda isn't being worked like how Britney has been being worked. So I guess that's the one thing that you can say has been good in that they're not exploiting her.
Yeah.
Though, again, we don't know that they're not exploiting her in other ways.
Yeah, and she still has like... residual checks coming in, like her movies.
Yeah.
She has movies that are on streaming services.
Absolutely,
she's still making money.
She's a huge star who worked so much as a child and young adult that there's like an arsenal of movies that she would never have to work another day and she'd be fine.
Yeah,
she'd be more than fine, you know. But yeah, so I don't know. I hope she's well, but that's what I heard, is that it's extended another 2 years. So it begs the question. Will we see what's happening with Britney happen with Amanda? And if it's not in her best interest, which I don't think it is, I hope, you know, to be a supporter of the Free Amanda movement.
Yes.
Should that come to be, really. Mm-hmm.
And one last little COVID fact, Cheryl Burke from Dancing with the Stars has caught COVID as well. Despite being vaccinated. Now, that being said, because she's vaccinated, she's not suffering from symptoms.
Doing well.
Proving that vaccines work.
Vaccines work. Duh. Doesn't mean you're not going to get it. It just means you won't suffer excruciatingly. Also, quick Dancing with the Stars. JoJo Siwa did the first same-sex dance.
Yeah.
Come on, JoJo.
She is the first.
Queen.
Her and Jenna Johnson are the first same-sex couple on Dance
They were Dancing so with the cute. Stars. I loved it. Cute.
And I love Jenna Johnson.
Oh, I know. She's wonderful.
She's so good.
It was such a great little dance. And a great moment for TV. We love to see it.
We love JoJo, too.
We loved where JoJo stands. She's nothing but positivity. How can you not love a queer icon, you know? Alrighty.
All right. We
that
ready?
That brings us.
To get back.
In business. Let's do it.
To the 80s.
Ooh, baby. The
Ooh,
80s.
Baby.
We love to see it. But before we were talking about the 1980s, I want to pedal us back a little further, back to the 1880s.
What?
What?
Because we are talking about a century-old brand, a brand that has been
That's
in your
so
house,
true.
Been in your restaurants,
been in your hearts, been in your veins, through your body.
Something that is very near and dear to my heart.
100%. We may be drinking one of their products right now. We're talking about
Coca-Cola.
Specifically, New Coke.
What? What is New Coke, Carly?
Well, we'll get into it. But before we can talk about New Coke, we have to talk about Coca-Cola. So Coca-Cola, in case you don't know it, or in case you don't remember it, or in case you need to hear a little
Never
bit about it.
Never heard about it before.
Right? Surprise. It's a sugary drink invented in 1886 by pharmacist John Sith Pemberton. Originally, it was made with coca leaves, cocaine, and cola nuts, which is caffeine. The drink had a stimulative effect, no surprise, and was sold as a tonic. So, in 1889, though, he sold the brand and formula for $2,300, which in today's money is only $68,000.
Really?
He sold the whole thing in 2021 money, $68,000. And then the Coca-Cola Company was incorporated in Atlanta in 1892. Mm-hmm. And I just want to point this out. Currently, the Coca-Cola Company is the world's largest producer of plastic waste, which I'm not into. But I am into their delicious beverages. Sad day.
They are delicious.
After World War II, because, I mean, it's been since the 1880s. After World War II, Coca-Cola had a 60% of the market share. It was the real deal. They're the people who own Santa Claus. They're the people who decided Santa wears red. They're the people that, like, they have such an influence over popular culture and American culture. It's like an American icon.
It is an American icon.
Absolutely. Especially also an American Southern icon. Which
yes,
we'll get
Atlanta,
into.
Atlanta, Georgia.
It's because it's Atlanta, Georgia. And so, very, very popular all the way up till the 80s. Because by 1983, it had less than 24% of the market share. Because competitor Pepsi Cola had begun outselling Coke in supermarkets.
Yes.
And Coke only maintained the little bit of lead it had because of venues like vending machines and fast food places like Big Titan McDonald's having their deals with them and having their products in store.
Coke's market share was also being belittled by their own company because Coke started selling products such as Sprite and Diet Coke, which their customers were, of course, gravitating to opposed to Coke, which therefore Coke was limiting its own Coke, the brand of Coca-Cola, not the company of Coca-Cola.
The drink itself.
The drink itself was having less of a market share.
Absolutely.
And then you insert Pepsi, so Coke was losing its dominance as the main cola drink.
Yeah, which it had had for so very long.
Coke is such an influential brand that in some parts of the U.S., people, you'll go to a restaurant and they'll ask you, what type of Coke do you want? And you can say, oh, I would like a Sprite. Okay, here's your Sprite Coke. Coke, opposed to soda or pop, is used as the word.
As the drink for the fizzy beverage that, you know, comes in a can or out of the tap. Yes. Absolutely. Interesting that you talk about Diet Coke, Eric, because the 80s, as we know, or maybe we don't know, was obsessed with diet culture.
Yeah.
Especially with diet food and drinks. Like, that for the 80s was, like, the new thing. Everyone gets skinny, we'll eat diet food.
Yes.
And so consumers were into diet and non-cola soft drinks.
Yeah, so I read that Pepsi was cornering the market because what was happening was that young, weight-conscious customers were gravitating towards Diet Coke, whereas, but cola drinkers, only nostalgia drinkers were drinking Coke.
Totally. Whereas long time boomers.
Yeah. It was known as the boomer drink, whereas the Gen, what these would be, Gen Y? Gen X?
Gen Xers.
We're Gen Y. Yeah. Gen Xers were into Pepsi because that was the young person's drink.
Right. Yeah, and totally.
So Coke was really losing its, like, hold on the market.
Yeah, because they weren't catching the new young people. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So when Roberto Goizetta became the CEO of Coca-Cola in 1980, mm-hmm. he told his employees there would be, and I quote, no sacred cows in how the company did business, even how it formulated drinks. Which is a lot to say for a Titan, like, time-honored brand. Like, that's a lot to be... He doesn't... Basically, he's saying, I don't give a fuck what we've been doing, but we're gonna do something. You know? And that is, like, that's pretty legit, man. That's some courage, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. So, Coca-Cola, its executives came up with a plan that their marketing vice president, Sergio Zierman, and the Coca-Cola U.S. president, Brian Dyson, would create a new flavor of Coke. This project was called Project Kansas.
Because it was a secret project.
It was a secret project. They didn't want anybody to know. And the name Project Kansas came from the fact that there was this very famous photo of a Kansas journalist named William Allen White drinking a Coke, and the image has been used widely for advertising amongst the Coke brand.
Yeah, and it was all over their offices. It was everywhere. And so they called it Project Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we love code names.
And part of the reason why Coca-Cola was doing this project was because in blind taste tests of Coke versus Pepsi, Pepsi was coming out on top.
Yeah.
How dare they? Because I hate Pepsi.
Well, Eric, Pepsi had a sweeter taste. So people... Yeah. really gravitated towards the which one they found was sweeter, which at the time was Pepsi. They were like, I'm into this drink. It's probably the one I love. It's probably Pepsi that I love. I mean, it's probably Coke that I love. It's probably not Pepsi. Surprise.
It was Pepsi.
We all love Pepsi, it turns out.
Now, so they developed this new formula, and believe it or not, and this goes to my Coke Zero Diet Coke battle.
Yes.
When they were developing Diet Coke, they didn't take the Coca-Cola formula and replace the sugar or high fructose corn syrup and just change it with aspartame.
No.
What they did is they developed a new formula for it. So
because I think, like, the formula, maybe I'm wrong, wouldn't translate. Like, does that make sense? Like, you can't just take the sugar out of something and add fake sweetener and have it taste good.
Yeah.
So they had to come up with this thing that tasted similar to Coke, but was diet. Yeah, it was a completely new formula.
So the new Coke formula was actually very similar to the Diet Coke formula.
Totally.
And the diet, so...
And they made it much sweeter.
They made it much sweeter. So they basically replaced the aspartame with sugar or high fructose corn syrup.
Totally.
But this goes to my little thing about Coke Zero having a different flavor, because Coke Zero... has the same flavor palette as actual Coca-Cola. So it's more, the formula is more similar to Coca-Cola than Diet Coke is to Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Just my little argument.
Little facts.
Little facts.
Because we are Coca-Cola stands, but we're Coke Zero stands.
We are Coke Zero
stands. Or as it is now called, Coca-Cola Zero Sugar stands.
Oh, just another brand that Coke had introduced into the market that was belittling their shares was Cherry Coke.
Totally.
So
that same year they released Cherry Coke.
Yeah.
And that might come up again in a little bit.
In 1982, they released the introduction of Diet Coke and Cherry Coke were launched, which caused the Coca-Cola brand to take less shares.
When we say the Coca-Cola, we mean the drink Coca-Cola, as we know it.
It's also really interesting because marketing was done a little bit differently at this time. So Coke really wanted to be known as the highest selling brand.
Yeah.
So they really were really worried about Pepsi being able to say, no, we are the highest selling Coke brand.
Yeah, like cola brand.
Cola brand, yes.
Like cola... Like, they were really, really... They didn't care about their, like, whole operation. Is there like the
company? Because they were winning no matter. They were already winning.
They're already the top of the top. They're already competing with themselves. That's the thing. When you're the top, you start competing with yourself. And so they were really, really concerned with maintaining the sales of specifically the drink Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm. Now, back to the taste test. When they introduced this new formula, they did blind taste tests.
Yeah.
And new Coke overall scored better than both classic Coca-Cola and Pepsi.
Totally. Yeah, it beat them out. And people were like, delicious. Yeah, so in taste test surveys and focus groups, people were like, yeah, this is delicious. But the problem that came in a little bit with the focus groups is that once they revealed
what
they were drinking and what they liked,
people got angry.
People were pissed. 10 to 12% said they felt angry that Coke might change and they would absolutely stop drinking.
Yeah, they'd boycott the product.
Solely because they felt like deceived or they felt like they were changing something that couldn't be changed.
Yeah, so Coke had three ideas on how they could market new Coke. So one was that they would just secretly switch out the recipes hopefully no one would notice.
Fingers crossed, no one will say anything.
Fingers crossed.
Because they had done that before.
Mm-hmm.
They had made slight alterations to make it kosher, to make it vegetarian. Like, these were things they had done through the years that people there wasn't a big hullabaloo about. And they've made a halal. Like, there were, like, things they had done to make it better and more inclusive. But this is, very drama.
Yeah.
To change the whole formula and be like, no one will notice.
Option two was to market new Coke and have Coca-Cola Classic running at the same time so that customers could have their choice. The problem with that is that if you ran New Coke as a new brand, now you're cutting Coca-Cola's share of the cola market in half, automatically giving Pepsi the edge to say, hey, we are the best-selling cola drink around!
Yeah, exactly.
And then the third option was what they would eventually do was to discontinue Classic Coca-Cola and just put in New Coke.
Totally. And so another reason they didn't go with the split thing, too, is because bottlers are already mad at all the additions that Coke had made to the lineup since 1982, including Diet Coke, Cherry Coke, because Coke owns and sold the syrups to different bottle distributors, and the bottle distributors would make the soda pop. And these people, they were afraid there would be a boycott. They were afraid they would, like, lose a lot of business, and so they said, okay, what we're gonna do is we're just gonna switch it out.
Some of the bottlers were suing Coca-Cola at the
currently,
time.
Currently, yeah, already.
Because they were, the syrups were too expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, a quick little thing on how people felt about it just before it's launched is the surveys that they did were less negative than the focus groups, and so it convinced management to release the new Coke in time for the 100-year anniversary of Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. They were like, we'll release it, it'll be great, and it's going to be this new thing, people are going to be excited about it. And for whatever reason, they put more weight onto what people were saying in the surveys rather than what people said in the taste tests, which is really interesting to me. They saw both sides and said, I like that one better. We'll take that one. Which is, if you ask me, that's not good marketing. That's not good research,
In the focus groups, they found that the 10 to 12% that felt really angry were so vocal that they would often convince other members in the focus groups to come to their side.
Yeah, because they're like the loud ones. And it's just so funny how human behavior, because if you think about it, that's what happened in the end. Like the focus groups are a microcosm of what ended up happening in the macrocosm.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they decided, okay, old Coke is out, new Coke is in.
Mm-hmm.
And so new Coke was introduced April 23rd, 1985, and OG Coke ended production at the end of that week.
Yes, and in order to use up all available resources, any old cans of Coca-Cola that were left empty after the switch were used, but they would put gold packaging on it and give it red caps so yeah. that people knew that it was new Coke, not
the old garbage stuff.
Not the old garbage stuff.
Not that old stuff. And so New Coke was announced at a press conference in New York City's Lincoln Center. It didn't go great.
Because yeah, Pepsi. This is corporate warfare.
This is iconic. Iconic. The thing about, okay, I would love to do it one day, maybe an episode about both Coke and Pepsi and their
rivalry
together, because it's amazing.
Yeah, this is
amazing.
Warfare. Pepsi, yeah. Pepsi employees or people at the heads of Pepsi.
Yeah.
Got to the reporters first yeah. and would feed them questions to ask Coke yeah. about the formulas totally. So that Coke would look inept or that they didn't know what they were saying
yeah.
or that they were changing the recipe too much mm-hmm. so that
or
it
that
would...
they were like lying to America yeah. or like yeah they were just trying to make them look bad in any way shape or form.
Now the CEO of Coke described the new flavor as bolder, rounder, and more harmonious.
Yes, he did. And you know what, Eric? It kind of worked for a little while because the company's stock went up after they announced.
Yeah.
People were like, "Oh, if Coke's doing it, it's probably going to do well." And Coke sales went up 8% from the year before. Though some people say that that isn't necessarily due to new Coke. Some people just say that Cherry Coke was doing well and people really liked it.
Yeah.
So that's just an aside from future hindsight. But
also, new Cokes, just to, like, the kind of the nail in the coffin of what new Coke would become, yeah. they're... first spokesman for New Coke was Bill Cosby.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That's true.
That didn't age well.
Yike. Big yike.
Yeah.
And they had big marketing pushes. Because, I mean, we know that they did a lot of market research. And so they were really... if Coke does one thing well, it's usually marketing.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
It was available at McDonald's. Yeah. It was available at most fountain drinks amongst the U.S. And
totally.
They got it right into vending machines.
Yeah.
So that it was in people's faces right away.
And, yeah, I'd say, like, they said that, like, 80% of consumers knew within the first few days that there was new Coke. Like, mm-hmm. everybody knew. You could not know. But they had specifically big marketing pushes in New York City and Washington, D.C., and they gave thousands of it away. Like, just, like, cans and cans and cans of it, essentially.
Yeah.
But it was the South, which is Coca-Cola's biggest fans, who would have the most to say about new Coke. And some people said things like, changing Coca-Cola is an intrusion on tradition. And people were questioning why was it introduced in New York. Because, again, Coca-Cola is based out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, it's a southern brand.
It's a southern brand. But they went to New York, which is famously the opposite of the South.
Yeah.
And that's where they chose to announce it.
It really shows that even in the 80s, there was still this, like, major division between, like, the Yankee North and the... mm-hmm. and the Southerners, and
yeah.
in culture and a national identity, that the South mm-hmm. had this identity and that Coke was part of Southern identity, and how
yeah.
dare Coca-Cola be a brand to cater to those Yankees, to those Northern Yankees.
Totally. And like, if you ask me, that was a big trip up for them. Like,
yeah.
if they had, in my mind, if they had rolled it out in a different way, they might have gotten the South on their side. We might be drinking new Coke today.
Well, it supposedly tasted better, so.
Right? Also, some people say that the flavor change was a communist plot because Goizeta, the CEO, was Cuban. Some people were like, it's the commies!
Oh.
Which, that makes no sense.
So, a man named Gay Mullins, who is Seattle retiree,
mm-hmm.
he created a group called Old Cola Drinkers of America
yes.
that would lobby Coca-Cola to either reinstate the new formula or to sell it to another brand so that they could make it.
Yeah.
And he was able to borrow $120,000 from his public relations firm in order to, to get this
campaign off the ground.
It's Old Cola Drinkers of America. He became a lobby group for Old Coke.
He's a lobbyist for Coke. Old Coke, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
That is so funny. That really goes to show people were so passionate. And that is what, like, Coca-Cola, the brand, underestimated. They really didn't think that people would care. And people really cared because over 40,000 calls... letters, of anger and disappointment were addressed to them. One was addressed to Chief Dodo of Coca-Cola Company. Another asked for the signature of one of the dumbest executives in American business history.
Their hotline would, on a normal day, receive 400 calls.
Yeah.
When New Coke was introduced, they received 1,500 calls a day.
Yeah. It's like more than doubled, pretty much tripled.
Sorry.
Like,
yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Back to Gay Mullins. He had a class action lawsuit against Coca-Cola.
Oh my God.
That's how much he was against New Coke.
He was ready for
it.
It
was dismissed by a judge who said he preferred the taste of Pepsi.
That's iconic.
Yeah.
That's iconic. That is courtroom history. There was even a psychiatrist that Coke hired to listen into some of these calls. And apparently they said that some people sounded like they were describing the death of a family member. The way they were talking about how they felt about losing the original Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people... It is astonishing to me how much we are creatures of habit and how much we hate change.
Yeah.
And we fight against it tooth and nail. It is incredible. It's incredible.
Well, it just goes to show the nostalgia, right?
Totally.
Like...
Totally.
This is not my mother's Coke. Like,
yeah.
Coke had been around for 100 years. Their branding was so clear.
Yeah.
So to change it was just... It was unfathomable for so many people in America.
Yeah. And it's also so... It's just like... It's a great story of that nothing is ever sure in business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be the biggest, the best, and you can still do something like New Coke and it not go over so hot. One of my favorite, this is a bit off topic, but one of my favorite allusions to New Coke is in the, I can't remember if it's in the movie, but it's for sure in the musical, The Wedding Singer, when he buys a bunch of stock, the asshole boyfriend buys a bunch of stock in New Coke because he's pumped about it. He's like, don't buy Starbucks stock, buy New Coke. Coke is going to drop this new thing. Buy a bunch of Coke stock. And it made me laugh so hard. Because he's an asshole and he gets his comeuppance because he goes for New Coke instead of Starbucks, you know. But, like, it just goes to show it's, like, one of those things that, like, is just iconic. It's totally iconic.
Pepsi took advantage of this situation and they would run ads that would say, now I know why Coke did it.
I love that. But, yeah, so... There was such big backlash that the company feared boycotts of bottlers.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for a different reason. They're like, oh no, they're mad at us. And they didn't really know how it would do on international markets. New Coke was only available, I believe, in the U.S. and U.S. territories and in Canada.
Yeah.
So it wasn't available anywhere else. And they kind of were unsure about how to roll it out to international markets. Or if it would be okay. Because there were places... internationally that were advertising that they had the real Coke. They were like, don't worry, it's not that new shit. We're here. Our restaurant has the real Coke.
Yeah.
Because that was still being distributed
internationally. Well, yeah, the executives went and they met with marketers, all the international marketers, and to much of their surprise, like, the Coke bottlers in Monaco
were very
against New Coke.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in Monaco where they were like, we have the real Coke, don't worry. Which
and
is so funny.
Skepticism in Mexico. They didn't want it.
Well, there is Mexico has its own Coke too.
I know people say Mexican Coke.
Mexican
the best.
Coke is amazing.
Yeah.
Again, I just go on the record saying that. Mexican Coke is delicious. But yeah, so it's people were not into it internationally at all. Interesting. Again, people, it doesn't matter where you're from, they're just set in their ways and interested in what they're interested in.
Yeah. Goizetta famously went to a country club and overheard somebody at the country club saying that they liked New Coke, but they would be damned if they ever let Coca-Cola knew that.
Yeah, that's the thing,
know
too.
Yeah.
Like, some people were into it, but they were not going to tell people they're into it because there's such a backlash. It's like this song is really popular and such a bop, but then everyone rolls their eyes and goes, ugh, not this again. But secretly, everyone's enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing for a lot of people. Like, even the people that kind of liked it weren't gonna be out in support of it.
Yeah.
Like, nobody was gonna be out screaming, I love New Coke! Like, no, nobody was gonna do that.
Kind of like Ed Sheeran now. Yeah, everybody hates Ed Sheeran right now.
Everybody hates Ed Sheeran. Haven't people always hated Ed Sheeran, though?
But, like, he is one of the highest selling artists of our generation.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, people loved his music. Like, it charts well, and yeah. then people say they hate it. So, obviously, people like it, but...
Yeah. New Coke is the Ed Sheeran
New Coke
of
is
drinks.
Of drinks.
Yeah. Or people is, will or drink is New, it. People will enjoy
New
it.
New Coke the Nickelback.
No, I mean, just as iconic.
Just
you're
as iconic.
Me, you're asking me. But, yeah, so... After only 79 days, on July 11th, 1985, it's the same year, in case you didn't catch that, they announced the reintroduction of the original formula.
And this was breaking news. They interrupted TV broadcasts for this. It was General Hospital. They stopped General Hospital with a special bulletin to share the news with viewers that knew that classic Coca-Cola was coming back.
Yeah. It's like they found a missing child or something. They were like, they're back. They're better than ever. They're the same. You love them.
U.S. Senator David Pryor.
Yeah, David Pryor. 100%.
Called the reintroduction a meaningful moment in U.S. history.
He called it that on the floor of the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
Which to me is the funniest shit. I'm obsessed with
the
that.
The company received... 31,600,000 calls in 2 days after the announcement.
But yeah, within 2 days, can you imagine receiving 31,600 calls
in
2 days? Like, your phone would be ringing nonstop. Like, there's no way.
Now, it was determined that the new Coke would stay on the market and be sold as Coke or New Coke and later Coke 2, and that the original formula would be called Coca-Cola Classic. That's why in the early 2000s and late 90s, you would always have that classic red can and underneath it would
say classic in really small letters. See, I remember that from my childhood too, but I don't ever remember it going away.
And I remember asking about it. Being why is it called classic? Like,
oh, see, I just remember that was what Coke was. But then I looked at a can, I think, maybe like 5 years ago or something, and I was just like, oh, there's no classic on you. Because I stopped drinking regular Coke a long time ago. Coke Zero came on the scene, and I was like, this is for me. So it stayed on, which is like really what they weren't originally going for.
Yeah,
but
they ended up going with, they split the market.
The happy compromise of splitting the market. So they started calling it Coke 2 in 1992.
Yeah.
And classic Coke. Eventually discontinuing Coke 2 in 2002, which I would assume is also when they dropped the classic from the Coke cans.
And just so, by the end of 1985, Coca-Cola Classic had started to outsell both New Coke and Pepsi.
Yeah. Because it was back again, maybe.
And 6 months after the rollout, Coke sales had increased more than twice the rate of Pepsi.
Yeah. People were like, we're here for
this
thing we love.
This has led to the conspiracy that this was all just a ploy.
A
marketing ploy for Coke to revamp sales of their original product.
Yeah.
That it really had nothing to do with
people
Coke.
People are really convinced that maybe that is the case.
Yeah.
But Coca-Cola has adamantly denied that. And truthfully, I don't know if I believe that. Because think of the amount of effort that is to go to those lengths for a marketing ploy. You know, they're smart at marketing. I'm sure they could have found something that would have cost them a lot less money. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, if it was, I mean, good for them, but I can't see it. It's like, why would you keep on a product for, like, 20 years that was a fake product?
Yeah.
It seems like just a little much. But people also say that it was a clever ploy of doing New Coke was a clever ploy so that they could take the time to remove all of the coca from the original recipe of Coca-Cola, which I can more believe that than I can believe it's just a ploy for marketing. Because originally Coca-Cola, as we talked about at the beginning, it had cocaine in it. Like, that was one of the uppers in it. It was like, here, it's a party drink, here you go. Not that it was a party. They were calling it a tonic, whatever. We get it. Snake oil. 1800s are wild time. Mm-hmm. But it still, by the 80s, had a trace of the coca leaves in it. That's part of the flavor. The iconic Coke flavor. And so, when they introduced New Coke, it didn't have any of that in it. Because the DEA, the drug something administration, I'm not from the U.S., and the war on drugs was in full effect, and cocaine was huge in the 80s, and they were like, you can't have cocaine anymore in this, essentially. And so when they launched New Coke, it didn't have any of it. And then when they relaunched OG Coke, it didn't have any in it anymore. And they found, like, a solution for that. So some people say that was a big reason for New Coke, is it bought them time to examine and change, but not really change the old formula. Which, honestly, if there's a conspiracy theory to get behind, I can get behind that one, I think.
Yeah. Here's a really fun thing. So, Gay Mullins, who organized the Old Cola Drinkers for America.
Our favorite guy.
He was given the first case of Coca-Cola Classic as it came back.
Aw, hear.
But then he later complained that the drink made him sick. Which he blamed that on the use of high fructose corn syrup, because that was another thing that was happening.
That is true. Is that
they were switching out from using real sugar to high fructose corn syrup.
To be fair, though, most of the bottle distributors before New Coke had already switched to high fructose corn syrup. But some still were using cane sugar to sweeten Coke.
Yeah.
But afterwards, they all were using high fructose corn syrup.
And funny enough, Gay Mullins, in a blind taste test, picked New Coke.
Stop! I'm obsessed with this man!
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with this. I think this is the funniest shit ever. I love it. It just goes to show
he was one of those people that was very angry and felt deceived when he found out.
He was the king of the mad people.
Yeah.
He established a lobby. Like, he is the man. He's the reason for the season. He was doing it. I love that for him, though.
We love
it. I'm obsessed. There's nothing better than someone who's so stubborn.
Yeah.
For no reason. It's my favorite thing.
Here's a great twist. A great quote. I read the word twist.
Oh, y'all want a twist?
Y'all wanted a twist, yeah?
Here's a twist.
There's a twist to this story which will please every humanist and will probably keep Harvard professors puzzled for years. The simple fact is that all the time and money and skills poured into consumer research on New Coke could not measure or reveal the deep and abiding emotional attachment to the original Coca-Cola felt by so many people.
Yeah.
So that the twist is that no amount of
market
improving
research.
A product, market research, can account for nostalgia.
Can account for how strongly someone feels about something, especially when it's such an iconic fixture in their lives, in their lifestyle, in their culture. It's kind of one of the drinks that, like, made us. Like, it's one of the most, like, you can go anywhere in the world, pretty much, and they'll know what Coke is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You see that red, that white, you see that can, you're like, that's Coca-Cola.
That is Coca-Cola.
It could be in any language, and you'll know that's Coca-Cola.
Well, Coca-Cola, opposed to Pepsi, has always relied on their nostalgia, the fact that they are a 100-year-old company. Pepsi has always tried to stay current.
Their thing is, we're the new kid on the block.
We're the new kid on the block. That's why they have always used celebrity endorsements.
Yes.
It's why they're always trying to stay relevant in the culture.
Totally.
Where Coke goes the total other method of being like, we invented the culture. We can hang back.
We are the moment. We have always been the moment.
Yes.
Yeah, totally nostalgia-driven, totally, you know what you're getting, even if it's something new that they're introducing, like Coke Zero, or new Coke Zero packaging, let's say.
I mean, we even see it, Coke Zero packaging, no matter what iteration it was, it was some version of the original Coke packaging, just
totally.
Inverse of colors.
Yeah.
We're going to use the same can, but we're going to put black font instead of white font.
Like, and we're gonna add no sugar really big instead of saying zero. Like,
yeah. It's always been about keeping the brand of Coke alive.
Yeah.
Even Coke, when they do have celebrity endorsements, they actually keep it very quiet. BTS did Coke's did a Coke theme song, but BTS was not featured in any of the ads.
No.
I've never, the only celebrity I've really ever seen in a...
They did a bit of stuff in the 90s with celebrities.
Maybe. The only one that I've seen is for Diet Coke. Taylor Swift has done Diet Coke ads. And that's why Taylor Swift will never host the Super Bowl. She'll never be that. Because she's a Coke.
She's a Coke girl.
She's a Coke girl.
Oh my god!
Which I also thought was funny because Lady Gaga did it. And then you watch Lady Gaga's documentary in which she is rehearsing for the Pepsi Halftime Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And she is drinking a Diet Coke.
That's iconic.
Yeah. But that's it came iconic. Out after, so.
So it didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
Well, I guess, yeah, I guess it's, it depends on the timing of it, right? Like, T-Swift. Yeah, dang. Oh, I hadn't considered that. That makes me bummed. I love T-Swift. But yeah, apparently in 2019, I do remember this, but I also forgot about this.
They Stranger released, Things?
Yeah. A limited run of new Coke to promote season 3 of Stranger Things. And it appears in Stranger Things, because Stranger Things takes place in the 80s. And they had new Coke in it. And, they had it in, like, some vending machines in L.A. They had very, like, apparently, though, when it launched, it, like, crashed Coca-Cola's website. And, like.
The Stranger Things?
Yeah. The Stranger Things new Coke. Like, people, they didn't expect, I guess, the volume.
Well, because now new Coke has a sense of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Like, oh, new Coke, the mystery. Whoa.
Right? Especially like, I would love to try new Coke.
Yeah, especially as people that have grown up kind of just hearing about it. Yes, we were alive for until, like, when it was
discontinued
in 2002.
But like, do you know anyone that drank Coke,
I remember seeing in Costco, they had, like, a Diet Coke, a Coca-Cola glass, and then a new Coke glass as part of, like, the advertisement for soft drinks. But they never actually had new Coke.
See, I don't remember any of that. The only Coke I remember from the early 2000s is when they came out with Vanilla Coke.
Oh.
That was the only thing I remember. But I don't remember Coke 2. I do remember being in my uncle's basement, and he always bought things in bulk, and going to get a Coca-Cola, but it had the word classic on it. I do remember that specifically. But I don't remember when it went away, the word classic. So I also don't remember New Coke or Coke 2 or, you know. So I would love to try a new Coke.
Me
Let's
too.
Let's bring it. Let's bring it back. I've tried Crystal Pepsi. That was neat.
What?
It was very easy.
Is that the clear Pepsi?
Yes.
See, I don't know. I don't drink Pepsi.
It tasted like Fruit Loops as a drink. It was pretty crazy. I'm not going to lie. It tasted nothing like anything I expected. I didn't know what to expect. I just thought it was a clear drink. And it was. It tasted kind of like a melted Freezy, I suppose.
Yeah.
It was pretty wild.
I just want to mention my sources. I got a lot from YouTube called Company Man.
Love it.
And he goes through different companies and sort of talks about their stocks.
That's
and
so cool.
Like, different periods of their histories. It's really, really cool.
Love
and
that.
Also, the More You Know YouTube channel.
Oh, awesome.
On New Coke.
Ooh. I just used good old Wikipedia.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I looked at that, too.
There we go. Eric, what are your pop picks of the week, Michael?
Oh, pop picks. I'm going to say Sex Education on Netflix.
Love it. Okay.
It is probably one of the smartest teen dramas around.
That's cool. I've heard nothing but good things.
So. You haven't watched it?
No.
Oh, you would love it.
Okay.
Yeah, you would really love it. I think it's awesome. I've also been watching Q-Force on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
It's about queer spies.
Yes.
It's funny. It's kind of dumb.
Yeah.
But it's
fun. I heard
it's
a bit pandering, but also
yeah,
it's
but,
fine.
You know, representation is good.
It matters.
Like, it does matter. Yeah. And I don't know. I enjoyed it.
If we're not going to watch it, who's going to watch it? You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I do have a problem when it's like, you know, people try to give you something and then you're like, but you're pandering to me. I'm like,
yeah.
Like, sometimes I do sort of feel bad for these brands that are like, how do they win? Like,
yeah, they're like, we're trying. We're doing something.
And yes, don't get me wrong. I do have a problem with, like, pride being majorly...
For a corporation.
Corporations.
That's pride being for a corporation is a little bit different than we're trying to make a gay show...
For gay people.
For the gays.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, what are your pop picks, Carly?
Well, I've been getting into the spooky season feels, Eric. I don't know about you, but I have been watching a lot of two of my favorite YouTube channels that thrive in the spooky season. One being Jade the Libra, who's my favorite. She does, like, lots of, like, Halloween hauls and Halloween decorating and stuff. It's so cool. And also, her friend, and also a wonderful person and, like, musician, but I love his spooky content on his YouTube channel specifically. His YouTube channel is called Lair Voltaire. Yeah.
I think you've talked about this
on... I think I've talked about the Lair Voltaire before.
I think you've talked about this on Ghost Her Everywhere, actually. Because I'm obsessed
with the Lair Voltaire. But I don't think I mentioned Jade the Libra, who I've been obsessed with longer than Voltaire. Because I just think Voltaire is a weird goth man.
He's
amazing. And Jade the Libra is similar. She has, like, a very cool, spooky aesthetic all year round, but she thrives in Halloween and because she just decorates the shit out of her house. And you see all the... She starts Halloween hunting for decor in, like, the summer. It's amazing. So she'll, like, let you know if things are out in her area and that kind of stuff. It's super cool to see. And then you see what she buys, and then she puts it out in her house, and it looks amazing, and I am obsessed. So I just love it. I just love it so much. Halloween's the best.
Nice.
Yeah. So those are my two picks. Because I'm just ready for spooky season.
Well, speaking of spooky season.
Mm-hmm. I thought this would be a good segue. Ooh.
Next week we start Spooktober. Insert sound effects of spooky things.
I'm not going to do that. We can do it with our voices. Woo!
Thunder! Crash, crash!
That's spooked me. That was a good one.
The count.
I was a witch.
I love the count from Sesame Street.
One! Two! He uses a lot of glottals, I'm pretty sure. But it makes me laugh.
Poor voice actor. I was in trouble at Sheridan because I put too many H's in words.
But it's so much easier.
It's so much easier. Literally, like, my first song, my vocal teacher was like, you put a lot of H's in there. I was like, yeah, I'm, like, really afraid of glottal attacks.
Yeah.
She's like, you don't have to be. Like, you're fine.
You're fine. But you're like, but I am.
But I am. My goodness. Also, Drag Race UK has started.
That's right. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, well. Sorry, I had to bring up Drag Race because we had talked about Britney.
That's right.
Mentioned BTS.
We have to talk about all our staples.
The pop culture trinity.
The trifecta. Yeah, the pop culture trinity of Britney Spears, BTS, and Drag Race.
Yeah.
That's definitely for us.
That's definitely for us. So I just...
I love it.
Or in Glee, the Unholy Trinity.
Unholy Trinity, the trifecta. Totally.
Quinn, Santana, and Britney. The Unholy Trinity.
The Unholy Trinity. Wow, remember Glee.
Remember, oh goodness.
Wow, woof.
Woof.
No, but I do know who went home because I saw Joe Black's tweet that RuPaul's not welcome in Brighton, which made me laugh. So I do know what's going on. But yeah.
It was good. I didn't enjoy it.
Oh, I know I will. It's the UK. Problem with me is I just, like, don't...
Oh, there's too much Drag Race out there.
There's too much Drag Race right now. And I know what... The first time I ever watched the UK Drag Race, I watched it all in one sitting. Because I was way behind. I didn't watch the first season until the second season was almost coming out. And I loved watching it all at once.
Bag of chips.
Watch back! Like, I love watching it all at once. I thought it was so much fun. And I...
Cheryl Howell.
Oh, Cheryl. I just have a hard time, like...
The worst run on Drag Race, Cheryl Howell.
I love Cheryl Howell. No, I just have a hard time watching things, like, week by week now.
We've all been trained not to do that.
Well, because I
finished Sex Education in 2 days.
Oh, I do that all the time.
Like...
Yeah.
It's basically watching a movie.
Yeah, right?
But you have the option to turn off every hour.
Totally. And I love that. I've been debating. I definitely will probably start watching it this week. I just wasn't in the mood. Was it in the mood?
Was it in the mood?
Was it in the mood? No,
I don't even know if mine's a British accent.
Was it in the mood?
No.
I'm allowed to do that. I wasn't in the mood. Innit?
Our British listeners are going to be so insulted. We're making fun of our inability to do British accents, not your accents.
I can do them. I just don't want to.
Mine's not that great. I went to an audition once and did it, and they basically told me not
to
ever.
They didn't like it?
Yeah.
No, that's so sad.
I got the job. It's fine.
That's so funny. What was it?
It was for West Side Story. I didn't even need a British accent. I just did a monologue with a British accent.
Why? Just because?
Oh, there is a story to this. Oh, we're going on a major tangent,
Let's
listeners.
Let's do it. I haven't heard the story. I'm so excited.
So it was for Banff Citadel.
Yeah.
And on the requirements, they asked for a song.
Okay.
And a classical or modern monologue.
Or.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did a Shaw piece from Getting Married, I believe that's what it was called, because at the time when I was at Sheridan, we were, like, learning about, like, the modernist writers, which are, like, Shaw, Chekhov.
Yeah.
So when they said modern, I assumed that. They meant contemporary.
Okay, that makes sense. If you read it, modern or classic has to be old.
Yeah.
That's how you read
I read it. Okay, I do not enjoy doing Shakespeare monologues.
Yeah.
Because
Shakespeare is a whole thing.
It's just a whole thing, and I'm not great at it. But I can do this Shaw piece. Like, it will be great. I worked on it, and, like, my teachers were like, great. And then I got into the audition, and I did it. And they were like, well, first off, your British accent's not strong enough. And they were like, why would you do that piece? Like, we're looking for people that can play gangsters,
this is a choice,
why would you do a piece about being posh and British, because literally about, like, being posh and British.
Yeah, it's Shaw.
And they were like, why did you do this? And I didn't want to be like, well, it's your fault.
Well,
you
said
do
modern,
a modern,
and so this is modern. Yeah, you didn't say contemporary. If you said contemporary,
I didn't fight them on it, of course, because
you can't. You're in the room.
It's fine. I got a call back. My dancing saved me. Because it's West Side, so they just need great dancers.
It's West Side, yeah. Absolutely.
And I'm very grateful for the experience. And they're right. And at the end of the day, I probably just should have done a piece that was... It's because it was the Banff Citadel program, so there's like a education portion
aspect to
the job.
Yes.
So I thought that they were more doing the monologue for that.
And then the dancing and everything
singing for West Side.
Got you.
Yeah, I just, like, interpreted some of the instructions incorrectly.
Well, that's fine.
And that's fine. At the end of the day, as I said, I booked the job.
Right, so who cares?
But I was pretty embarrassed. It was one of my very first professional auditions, too, so.
Oh, I hate that. My first few professional auditions, thinking back, I'm like, I made a complete ass of myself.
Yeah.
But I've recently spoken with one of the directors who I auditioned for when I was still in school, who I actually remember leaving that audition being like, I think I did okay, but also I'm pretty sure I made an ass of myself. And I recently reconnected with her, and she's like, she remembered who I was, which made me shook to my core.
That's nice. I don't always do that.
No, not at all. I didn't expect that. And she was so kind. And I was like, oh my goodness. And she's amazing. She's
That's
incredible.
Awesome.
Yeah. And she was like, no, I remember you from your audition. She said, you were wonderful. And I told her, thank you so much. That means a lot, because I remember leaving that audition thinking, I'm a full dum-dum. I said, so that means a lot. She said, yeah, that happens to everybody. And I was like, yeah, that's fair. And she's basically like, yeah, everybody thinks that they're bad in an audition, but they're not. And I was like, thank you. That makes me feel really good. So just goes to show, do whatever you do, and people will still love you. Even if you have a shitty British accent, even if you feel like a big dum-dum.
If New Coke taught us anything, it's sometimes changing yourself is not a good thing.
Yeah, and sometimes just being you is where it's at.
Is where it's at. The nostalgia will save you.
That's true. At least for us, we know it does every week.
All right. Well, We've enjoyed this time with you.
We love you.
Please like and subscribe and write us a review if that is possible on your provider.
Yeah, do it.
We recently fixed our iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Apple Music.
It should be much easier to find there.
Totally. But you're listening to us, so.
You're managing great.
Maybe you could tell a friend to find us on those apps.
Also,
find us on the gram.
That's right. Eric does a great job over on the gram.
Oh, I do an okay job.
You definitely do a great job.
I haven't posted any of the pictures we talked about.
And what?
I will. I'll do that tonight. I forgot who I... The thing, though, is I have to go back and listen to them, and...
That's fair.
I'm so bad at listening to our own podcast. It's just because we live it.
We live it. I have to relive it every week, but...
Yeah, you're our
Eric's
editor.
Eric's a busy man, so...
All right, well...
He's working on his British accent, so he doesn't have time to listen.
Well, we will let you go.
Thank you so much.
Much better. I don't want to see you, baby. I don't want to talk to you.
Ding, dang, dong. Sing, sang, song. Ding, dang, dong.
UK, hun.
Bye.
Bye.